Welcome to the Isolationist Podcast. This is number 5 or 6. I don't know, I did a special Christmas episode that I think is coming out. I have no idea when, you may or may not have heard it, where I ruined Christmas for you. But guess who got himself a new microphone? That'd be me. I want to thank everyone for listening to the first, I guess, 5, 4, 5, 6, whatever podcasts that have come out. Been putting up really good numbers. A lot of you have been listening. Maybe it's not the biggest numbers for me. Maybe a couple years ago I would have done better if I had come out with a podcast then. But who cares? I'm doing it now. The people that are left, I appreciate, interact with. I like you guys more. Everyone who's listening to this, who's new, thank you. Backlog of this. I'm a guy who moved to the middle of nowhere. From New York City, being a professional stand-up comedian, doing pretty well for myself, working as a publicist. After that, I was working for the United Nations. Basically, I had myself a nervous breakdown, kind of, and me and my girlfriend decided to move to the middle of nowhere in Vermont, in a pretty isolated spot right on the Canadian border. If anyone is looking for a good coyote into Canada, I'm your guy now. It's my backyard. I can take you guys in. I got a laugh at the amount of people that were like, oh, if Trump's elected, I'm moving to Canada. And then Justin Trudeau came out and said Fidel Castro, he's going to miss him. He was proud to call him a friend of Canada. And then all the liberals here were like, yeah, Justin Trudeau pulling on their collars going, oh, maybe I shouldn't move to Canada. Maybe that's not such a good idea. The whole Castro thing makes me laugh. We have tried time and time and time and time again to kill the guy. He's unkillable. I don't know if we actually tried. And then 2016 rolls along, goes, wait, hold my beer. Let me take care of this. I got rid of freaking. Well, that's the one redeeming thing. If you think about it, at the end of 2016, where everything's gone to shit, at least in December, we can look back at it and say, 2016 was an awful year, but it was a great year for Cuba. And I think the Cuba deserves it. It's been a while since Cuba had anything good, right? They even took Cuba Gooding Jr. out of the Avengers. Sucks. Cuba hasn't had a good year. So, one thing that I did when I was 14 or 15, I was a really poor kid growing up in Flemington, New Jersey. I never expected the life that I had built for myself in New York or ending up in Vermont in the middle of nowhere, pickling my own green beans, and then drinking whiskey out of the mason jar after I'm done with them. I wasn't really planning on making it to 21, as I was doing excessive amounts of narcotics. I was going into Philadelphia, into bad areas of it as soon as I got a car, and doing stupid shit that would have gotten me shot. I was drinking myself to death. There were a lot of things that made it so that I didn't think I would make it to the legal drinking age. So at 14 or 15, realizing this, I made myself a bucket list of things I want to do, things I'm going to accomplish before the age of 21 when I will inevitably die. Turns out that an 18 to 19-year-old's body can recover pretty well, pretty damn good. I'm doing quite well. I'm 30 years old. I got an achy knee, I got a fucked up hip, that ain't bad. I ain't complaining. Yeah, I've gotten fat in the past year and a half. I've gotten fatter, but that's only because I actually enjoy life and I'm happy now that I'm not in New York City. But the thing is, that 14 or 15-year-old kid from Hunterdon County didn't realize that he would grow up, become an entertainer for a solid 5 or 6 years, end up meeting tons of freaking sports stars, celebrities, bunch of shit I did. So one of those things on the bucket list I will never, ever, ever be able to do because I kind of ruined it for myself. As we all know, I'm a hothead, a little bit of a weirdo. At 14 or 15, there was a specific sports star that I wrote down on my bucket list I will never, ever enrage. And the goal in life is to never piss this guy off. He's the Russell Crowe of professional sports, meaning that he gets pissed off at nothing. He's known for punching photographers, punching people who want to do interviews with him. I guess when I was 14 or 15, I just wrote down, I never want to piss this guy off. And I wrote that down, not knowing who I would become later on in life. So all of a sudden, I hit about 23 to 25, and this specific sports guy is in my life. All of a sudden, there are times where I'm running into this guy. Between, you know, my publicist job, my job at the United Nations, and being an entertainer. I was around some pretty cool people, a couple sports stars. I don't give a shit about sports. I didn't know who they were. This was the only person I've ever known are UFC people. And that's the only thing I've really known for sports. And this one specific guy. So, I am at a friend's house. And, you know, I just imagine the sports guy, if I ever piss him off, he's going to beat the shit out of me. He's going to flip out. He's notorious for doing that. I think it's going to be some huge freaking thing. But then all of a sudden, the guy's at my friend's house. I have another friend who works with the guy at a charity event. And him and his sister, they're both like, they work on, or he works on Wall Street. His sister works for Live Nation, I think. They're awesome people, and they're around this guy. And so after a little while, I find myself in the room with this guy and going, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. I, fun fact, have accomplished my entire bucket list before the age of 30, because 30, which will be in February for me, I didn't think it was going to be a thing for me. That was so old for me when I was 18. Now I'm like, holy shit, I'm not even halfway to my deathbed yet. Unless the anger gets me early and I get shot or something ridiculous. So, one specific event, I am there. It's for a charity. This guy is one of, he's big into this charity. I'm not going to give this away. This I have an NDA with, which is for people, a non-disclosure agreement. There's a lot of those throughout my life. There's a lot of stories that over the next 2 or 3 years, if you guys still continue listening to this podcast, you will get some great stories. One involves George Lucas and the Tribeca Film, Tribeca Film Festival, a TED Talk with the guy who invented Google Glass and I. Some really cool things, but I have a couple NDAs. I gotta let it sit for a couple years before I can't, so I don't legally get fucked. Also, fun fact, it looks like this podcast will have legal counsel finally. I'm really happy about that. I've always been worried about getting sued because I hurt some SJW's fucking feelings. I'm digressing. So, I'm at a charity event, and I'm there with who at that time is kind of my boss, kind of not. He's a guy that I'm working with on a couple side projects. And he goes, hey, I want you to know this specific athlete is here. And I'm like, oh, great. He's here again. I absolutely don't want to run into him. And I explain to my kind of boss that I never want to piss off John McEnroe. That's the guy. John McEnroe. He's notorious. He's in tennis. He throws throws his tennis racket. He screams at refs. I think he's punched photographers. I don't know how 14 or 15-year-old me came up with this. But I decided I never wanted to piss off John McEnroe. So I'm avoiding him at all these situations. My friend is a friend of his, apparently. And John McEnroe comes over to my friend, goes, hey, he wants to meet everyone at the table. I walk away from the table. This is how badly I want to make sure by the end of my life I never piss off John McEnroe. And I walk away. John McEnroe sees me do this. My boss sees me do it. he walks away. Rest of the charity event, he doesn't come over. My boss turns to me at the end of it and goes, hey, I want you to know something. And I went, what? He goes, John was really hurt that you didn't want to meet him. He extended his welcome to everyone. It's kind of a charity that he's really positive with, something he's really interested in, something that he puts a lot of time into. And he was really sad that you decided to walk away just as he was coming over. I don't, does he know my name or anything? And my boss went, yes, I told him your name because you explained to me that you never wanted to piss him off. And I told him that, and guess what? You will never complete your bucket list. So that was like the shittiest way possible to learn that one of my life's goals I'll never be able to do. Because I thought it would be, I would be in conversation with John McEnroe. I would say something that pisses him off. He'd fucking punch me. He'd tell me off. He'd fucking scream at me. Instead, I just found out I made John McEnroe sad, and then he was upset because my bucket list included him, not pissing him off. I was a complete stranger, and someone told him that a complete stranger. So I really hurt John McEnroe's feelings. So John McEnroe, if you remember this, I'm really sorry, dude. I hope that things are cool. I know this was probably something that was trivial in your life. You never understood, but in my dumb narcissistic brain, I blew it out of proportion. I also did that recently with the dude who was working at Goop. I don't know if you know what Goop is. It's Gwyneth Paltrow's website. I was working with this guy for a while. Basically, I got his number. I got Gwyneth Paltrow's number. My boss at the time grabbed his number from my phone. And then to try and impress one of her clients, gave them this guy's number, Gwyneth Paltrow's number. These people called him, texted him, emailed him, bothered the shit out of him. Long story short, that company and I decided to part ways after a year. Fuck them. I'll talk about them later on in the podcast. That NDA is up, I think. I hope. I don't know. If not, we can just wait and release this in like a year. So yeah. Ah, fuck. Where was I going? Oh yeah, so So this leads me to, kind of in a roundabout way, this leads me to, I recently quit Instagram. I had to quit Instagram, because there's too many hot chicks. There's too many hot girls. And the thing about it is, that makes me sad. That makes me really, 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 really sad. Oh, the Gwyneth Paltrow thing. So, sorry to Patrick Devlin. To Gwyneth. I recently had to go back and talk to the guy, to Patrick Devlin, and be like, hey man, I'm really sorry about this. And he goes, hey, I have no idea who you are. And I went, great, maybe I should just fix myself. Maybe I should freaking give myself some credit in life that I don't need to apologize for other people's actions and that my boss was a douchebag there who made terrible business decisions. It was terrible. But okay, so I quit Instagram. There's too many hot chicks. And it makes me sad. It makes me really sad. Not like sad that this is what the society's come to. Not sad that like, you know, some hot chick can get like 3 million followers without any skills whatsoever. You can literally never hear their voice and they can get 2 million followers. It makes me sad because I looked at them and I started imagining all the behind the scenes that happens for these Instagram, because I used to help run photo shoots for a couple different fashion companies back in the day. I was on photo shoots. I saw some of the stuff, but that's like on a, there's weird shit that goes on photo shoots when it's for like a major company. There's weird shit that goes on there. So I just imagine these dumb Instagram idiots, because I've dealt with a couple of them now in previous jobs, dealt with a couple of the Instagram hot chicks. Where the fashion bloggers, they like to use, yeah, that was a burp. They like to use big words, but most of them, kind of morons that I had no respect for. Shallow, vain, again, social media is a lie. I've said that in another podcast. But I started, like, really going into it and really imagining what these hot girls have to go through. And it's fucking terrible. Like, what you don't see is, the first thing you don't see is all these hot chicks. They should have at the bottom of their pictures, like, sponsored by my 46-year-old boyfriend's Marriott points. Like, they're not, until you get to, like, the 200,000 mark, it's not like all of a sudden you have the money to fly somewhere. No, you have someone else that does it. There's OC Modeling, that works with some people, that hooks people up with people in different countries. There's just some really weird shit on how these hot chicks who are nobodies end up in the places that they are. Let's say it involves guys with a lot of back hair and mustaches paying for them to do shit like this. It's ridiculous. I imagine that. The other thing that you don't see is behind the scenes, like, the saddest thing is, like, the cameramen. Like, there's a couple different people these cameramen could be. Number one, these girls' boyfriends. Can you imagine being the camera guy posting for your girlfriend who has 100,000 guys saying they want to dick her down? 100,000 guys want to dick her down every day. She's seeing that. She's seeing that every day. And you're taking the pictures the guys are jerking off to. That's fucking sad to me. The guys are like, oh, it's her fucking career. Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, it's her career, but do you really have to be the one pressing the little red button on the iPhone or pressing the little clicky thing to know that you're putting shit out there that fucking creepy guys are gonna write stunning in the comments on? Fucking creepy to me. The other thing is, if it's like a professional or semi-professional photographer, the photographers that do these Instagram bitches pictures, they're not like, I used to work with a dude, I think it was Benjamin Sutton or Benjamin something, Lennox, Benjamin Lennox. That dude was awesome. He was nice, sweet dude, really fucking down-to-earth Englishman, really starting to make his way in the actual photography world. That guy, awesome. The people who take these Instagram girls' pictures, they find them on, like, Model Mayhem. They find them on websites. You ever been to Model Mayhem? It's the saddest thing in the world besides Instagram. Just pop in your local zip code, wherever you are. Go to modelmayhem.com, put in your zip code. If you're, like, a New Yorker or L.A. or something, pop in the zip code of someone in the flyover states. So put someone in the middle of, look up a zip code in the middle of Vermont, put it, and look at the models and the photographers there. It's the saddest, funniest thing you'll ever do. It's a great way to just pass time when you have garbage time. But what I imagine is these photographers being who they are, and just, like, you see a girl, and you got her on a beach, and her boyfriend's already there. It's his parents, it's his rich parents' timeshare, and she's going to take hundreds of pictures that she can use over the next 10 years and just schedule them out in the next 10 years on Latergram so it looks like she's back in Cabo again every year. What I imagine is those guys being like, ah, no, move your leg a quarter of an inch to the right. Your thigh gap is 3 millimeters too small. I can see your legs together, you dumb Instagram idiot. Spread those shit out. That's what you have to fucking do. Like, these guys aren't catching, like, real natural beauty. These guys are staging everything and being like, all right, for you to get another, you know, you'll bump up by another 5 to 10,000 followers if you have a quarter inch thigh gap. That's how sad this shit is to me. In my head, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't look at that every day. I can't see it. And even when I tried to get away from the fucking Instagram algorithm, they're still popping that shit up in my feed. Eventually, I just put down the phone and went, I don't want this. I don't want to fuck up my endocrine system. I want to be able to have sex with fucking my girlfriend without fucking seeing flashes of that shit. She and I talked about this. She's 100% right. You don't need fucking porn. You don't need that shit. You know? Just have sex with your girlfriend. If you have a good relationship, it'll happen. But another thing I imagine in this is just the cameraman sitting there just doing that. And you know these guys are taking their dick out. You know that these girls can't afford a professional photographer, so they're just paying them back in blowjobs. It happens. It happens a lot. There's this dude named Terry. I think it's Terry. He's a fucking hipster mustache. I think he was working for, he was working for, like, American Eagle, or American Outfitters, or American something. And he's getting sued because all the models are like, yeah, he's huge, now. He's huge. All the models are like, yeah, all he does is try and fuck you, though. So he's getting sued for it, which is hilarious because he took Obama's fucking headshots, too. But I just imagine the photographer being like, okay, all right, we got your Instagram shots for the next 2 weeks. We got ones for your Facebook. We got ones for your Instagram. We got some ones that we think you're going to do real well on Pinterest in the 40-year-old market. All right. Now, now for the payment, as he just points to his junk, takes his fingers out, or takes his dick out, and just holds them in his fingers and goes, all right, let's just real business-like and casual be like, all right, looks like your end of the bargain is to just swallow some of my jizz. Just swallow some of my jizz. Not that hard, right? All right, and then they probably do it. And that's sad to me that that's how, it's just sad to me that it's just, I don't know, it seems like a non, it seems like a harem meat market, you know? It's just, ugh. Just think about this shit. The other thing is, like, there's only, like, 7 positions that these girls fucking do. Once you've seen the 7 positions that they fucking do, like, oh, one leg out sitting, peering out a window, straight shot showing my abs with my shirt rolled up so it's just that while I flex in the gym. Like, there's only 7 or 8 positions that these people fucking hold, you know? And they're all looking at the camera with a mixture of, like, I want to have sex with you, and someone just hurt my dog in front of me. Like, that's the face that these models fucking make. It drives me insane. I go nutter about it. Again, I just had to put it down because it makes me insane that they get 1 million followers for these same 7 fucking positions. What's with the goddamn bathroom sink, girls? What's with the goddamn bathroom sink? I know it makes it look like you got an ass when you don't have an ass, but I'm sick of the best sitting on the bathroom sink over the shoulder, looking at you like you hurt my dog, and you fucked my boyfriend in front of me face, kind of mixed with sex appeal, just like, the face. I'm fucking sick of it. It's such garbage. You're putting out there that you're a garbage person when you do that. I'm sick of it. There are people all about, oh, I'm all about that TNA. Like, it's a fucking picture. What are you going to do with the picture? You're going to look at a picture, then you're going to go on Pornhub and jerk off to something else. Why do you constantly need to have that fucking going into your endocrine system, guys? It makes you sad. It makes you sad, pathetic fucking guys, you know? I've talked about it for fucking years now. I guess it's finally coming out, coming to a head. I'm sick of the bathroom saying, fuck that. I'm fucking sick of the way, that's it. I'm sick of this shot brought to you by my 45-year-old boyfriend's Marriott points. I know I said it, but, like, he's a sales guy. That's what it is. He's like, he's like in real estate. He's a mortgage broker. Just one of those stereotypical, he's a stockbroker. Oh, look how hot my girlfriend is to my bros. And he just uses his Marriott reward points that he gets from traveling the country trying to sell shit to people. Just does that to pay for your, stupid vacations that you take your fucking Instagram pictures on. There's one online I saw where this couple painstakingly went to this one, that has, like, you know, they have 4 million followers, so they just recreated every fucking picture that this other Instagram account had. It's fucking sad. That's sadness. Not only are you unoriginal pieces of garbage, just even the composition, like the pillows and things were the same. The places were the same. The bathing suits were the same. The positions were the same. Like the lack of creativity. And this they were just blatantly not, I guess it's not plagiarizing, but it's plagiarizing. How sad is that? The people are so desperate for Instagram followers. So desperate for their 15 minutes of fame that that's what they think is going to get it. You know? Just recreating all that same fucking shit. Ugh. Ugh, it's so garbage. Like, the thing about this, too, is everything's so fucking Photoshopped. Like, here's the problem. You can't Photoshop out your insecurity and sadness. Like, you can't do that. Body positivity. Ugh. They're all these, like, thick chicks. They call themselves thick chicks on Instagram, too. But they Photoshop their waist down. Or they fucking, they put on little tiny pieces of rope when they fall asleep and cinch their fucking waist. That shit ain't healthy. That shit ain't body positive. Fuck you. Fuck you and your Photoshop. But there's, like, other Photoshops I've seen, like, working in the fashion industry for as long as I did. Like, we're just going to put, like, slight shading here so it looks like her hip bones are popping out. Like, fuck you. Just take a good picture. Stop fucking doing that shit. Stop fucking Photoshopping everything. Stop making, we can make these lines cleaner, we can do this, we can do that. At a certain point, it's just an attack on your fucking five senses to try and make you addicted to that shit, which is working. It's working, man. You're sad and pathetic. Commenting on the bottom of these girls' pictures, fire emoji, fire emoji. She's never going to see it. She's never going to follow you. She's never going to care about you. Why are you writing simply stunning on the bottom of these fucking pictures? You fucking idiots. You're not some fucking wealthy Arab oil tycoon who's going to pay this girl $40 million to fuck her. You're not able to do that shit. Why are you minding? Why are you paying attention to them? Why are you wasting your time? That shit you could be doing to be productive. Doing anything. Fucking pick up a lathe. Get some woodworking done. Half of you probably don't even know what a lathe is. That shit that's broken in your house that your spouse has been complaining about for fucking years. Go and fix that shit. You got time if you're not sitting there. Your job, you know how much better you'll be at your goddamn job if you're just not constantly bombarding your endocrine system with this garbage, this fucking filth. Ugh. Alright, I don't want to talk about real short, like, this body positivity movement. Alright, you can't be positive. Ugh, you can't be body positive. Hold on, no, I'm going back first. It's weird to me. It's weird. 2 million people. And you're, all of these women, their entire self-worth comes out of where their fat bundles are on their body. There's just fat pouches on their chest and fat pouches on their ass. That's what they've boiled themselves down to, just a couple fucking holes. And no, I think that's a Patrice O'Neal thing. The your worth is three holes. I can't take credit for that. I think it's Patrice O'Neal. But your fat bundles are all that you are. That's what you've limited your fucking worth to. You're garbage. You're real estate. I see, like, who's that chick that's fucking... Who's that chick that's suing Johnny Depp? She's saying he raped her. Doug Stanhope came out and was like, no, he didn't. He didn't abuse her. Didn't rape her. Doug Stanhope is a guy whose morality, whether you like it or not, is perfect. Yes, he does drugs. He gets fucking shit-faced drunk. But that's not the things that actually matter in life. He does moral shit, like fighting banks and doing and getting rid of garbage like that. You know? Ugh. But yeah, you're real estate. She's real estate. She's going from fucking Johnny Depp for, you know, like 10 million to now like Elon Musk or some fucking major inventor. I don't get why these smart guys get taken down by these fucking terrible... That's Bill Burr. But I agree with him. Why are you doing it? Why are you renting out that house? Ugh, that's all it is to them. Their pussy is worth this much. That's what it's become. It's not on their attitude. It's not on their intelligence. It's not about what they actually have to offer. They don't have anything to offer besides like tiny tits and a plump fucking butt and some skinny abs and looking good on your fucking side. You know that these people can't offer anything of value conversationally. And I say that because I worked with these people. Okay? I worked with these people. I worked with these fucking meatbags. And I'm going to talk about how body positivity and the people who lead it, it's a fucking sham. Okay? I'm going to talk about one in particular. Her name is Chastity Garner. I worked with her. I used to work with Torrid. It's a big plus-size clothing brand. I don't know if people know it or not. It's fucking owned by Hot Topic. Another brand I used to work with for a little bit. I don't know if I have an NDA on this. I don't have copies of my NDAs. I don't keep them. Fuck it. There's only maybe 1,000 people listening to this. Unless you guys share this, no one's ever going to go back and hear this. And by the time people who actually are in any position like that to hear it, but by the time they're in any position, my NDA will be over with. Chastity Garner, sweetheart, to me, lovely to me. She's a plus-size blogger. She's very big in the body positivity community. She's not... She talks about how fit she is, that she's just a big girl. She's just this. She's just that. It's not her fault. She's thyroid problems. She's just a big girl that likes big girl clothes, wants to find big girl clothing that looks good on her. No! First off, she was a complete bitch. to the skinny little Asian girl that I was working with. And now, granted, the skinny little Asian girl that I was working with in this, I don't particularly like. I'm not going to give away her name. She lives close to me now. She gave up on this shit, moved in with some fucking boyfriend somewhere in Boston. She's a piece of garbage, too. But in a professional setting, you don't be passive-aggressive. You don't act like a bitch to one another. So there was a couple things that Chastity Gardner did I didn't particularly like. I hooked her up with Demi Moore and Rumor Willis and these other people. It was part of a torrid night. And then she came out and she said that, you know, we handled this event terribly. We, this girl who's notoriously nice and everything, just all of a sudden turned tide, acted like a bitch when dealing with other women. Again, with me, fine. She liked me. She knew I was crazy. I just was upfront about it. I'm crazy. I talked about leaving my knees on a fucking chimney rock climbing in Vermont. She was cool with that. But after we throw this party, Chastity is a complete bitch. Saying we handled her wrong. We didn't give her enough time in the spotlight. There weren't enough pictures taken about her. She was overshadowed by Rumor Willis and Demi Moore, who aren't even plus size. No shit. No shit, they're not plus size. But the thing about her is she preaches this body positivity shit and that how healthy she is. She goes to the gym all the time. She's like, you know, she goes to the gym and she lifts like 2 pound weights. She's not in shape. She's not healthy. We walked from the lobby of her hotel to the car service that was picking her up and she was out of breath. She couldn't sit in the car that we originally had comfortably with me in the back. I had to move to the front because she took up 2 spots. I hate to break this to you. People, I get if you're a little bit larger. I'm not telling you to be a size 0, size 1, size 2. I'm telling you if you can't go for a walk without being out of breath, that's not healthy. You can't be healthy. And just because some fucking blogger on Tumblr told you that you're fucking healthy, you're not. You're not. You're not healthy. I was unhealthy and too skinny of a weight. I had some food issues I had to take care of and go through mentally. Guess what? You got some food issues too. And someone fucking telling you on Tumblr that you don't, that you're beautiful no matter how you are. No, it's not fucking true. It's not fucking true. That person's gonna kill you. That person is gonna be the goddamn death of you. You're listening to someone else who is unhealthy telling you that you are healthy because they themselves are unhealthy and lazy. Now, there's cases of that where people do put on weight because they're thyroid. They have Hashimoto's disease. There are ones where people have problems with it because their endocrine system's fucked up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking to you, asshole, who's sitting on the fucking couch in your fucking belly shirt that you got from fucking Walmart, talking about how beautiful you are and taking your self-worth out of the fucking hillbilly guys who will fuck you. Guess what? That's not where self-worth comes from. You're not healthy. I don't care what anyone tells you. Don't listen to the people that are telling you what you want to hear. You're going to end up with diabetes. Sorry. It's the truth. Losing a foot isn't beautiful. Losing a leg isn't beautiful. All right? Throw that butt out when you go to McDonald's. Simple little fucking changes. And you're talking to the guy who's self-hating at 6'5". I stepped on the scale this morning. It was 216 pounds. At 6'5", and I'm disgusted by myself. I spit at the mirror because I looked at what I fucking have gone up to. It's not muscle. You know what I did, though? I got a goddamn gym membership. That's what I went out and did. I found out. I asked my job. They subsidize it. Fucking went out. And I went, you know what? I'm flat broke. I'm poor. I can't afford this gym membership, but I'm fucking doing it anyway. You want to know why? Because I don't want to be disgusting. I've lived to 30. I wasn't supposed to make it this far. It's time I start fucking taking care of my goddamn body a little bit. I'm going to be stuck in this fucking shell for a while. I'm going to be stuck in this fucking meat vessel for a while. I have no idea what happens when I'm dead. But I can't... You can't say, like, I'm going to die and go to heaven or whatever the fuck you believe in. And be like, yeah, it's a fucking better afterlife. You only got a certain amount of time. Telling yourself that you're beautiful when you're too big to fucking walk down steps without being out of breath. Telling yourself that you're beautiful when you're too skinny because you smoke fucking 3 packs of cigarettes a day to stay skinny. And you can't fucking wear a pair of, shoes because they're too heavy for your tiny little legs. That shit ain't healthy. Just don't be, you should be ashamed of yourself. When did we as human beings stop being reasonable about this shit? Just be reasonable. Make America reasonable again. I don't want it great. I just want people to look objectively at themselves and be like, oh, this isn't what I'm supposed to be like. This isn't what my body's supposed to be. You shouldn't be proud of all this shit. You shouldn't be proud. You shouldn't, your fucking pronoun isn't XE and you're not a fucking binary fluid robot space kin. Age kin. That's not how this shit works. That's not how this shit works! That's not how this shit is supposed to work! You're fucking killing yourself. You're killing me. This is the shit that people like me move to the middle of nowhere because you can't handle it anymore. You can't see that stuff. You can't see people sitting in these fucking echo chambers of being like, this is amazing. It's not. You're costing everyone millions in your healthcare costs. You're making it impossible. You're polluting your goddamn self so you can't think straight. I put on weight. I started eating sugar. My brain, ugh, I hate it. I hate the way my brain fucking, I'm not as sharp as I used to be. I'm not adequate in my own, I hold myself to a standard of being adequate. Nothing more, nothing left any, I used to be a fucking perfectionist, not anymore. Now I just want to be adequate. I just want to be adequate in life. I want to be the C+ human being, is what I want to be. That's all I want, is to be a C+ human being. I aspire to mediocrity. And to me, mediocrity means just being somewhat healthy. I don't care if I got a little bit of a gut, but this 220 bullshit that I just popped up to, fuck that. Fuck it. That shit's not good. So I don't see people who can't fucking walk from the couch to the refrigerator and back again. That's not healthy. You know? It's just not healthy. And so ends the rant of a fucking crazy person. And here's the thing, here's another thing that fucking kills me. There are men who, and there are women who support this shit, who support each other through and through, and if you say otherwise, they fucking get vicious. If you try and tell someone, hey, you're gonna lose a foot, your pancreas is fucking giving out, you're gonna get diabetes if you keep this shit up, your blood salinity level, you have a blood salinity level. Like, I don't fucking understand why people tell each other, oh, that's fine, that's good, that's okay. Like, I enjoy a fucking Kit Kat or a Butterfinger every now and again. And I realize that I've been on a binge where I'm eating candy fucking every night. That's not okay. I don't want to fucking be that human being. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be 30. I'm 30. I can't do that anymore. I've realized it. I don't know why other people can't just grow up and realize it. You got to face reality. That's what a lot of the body positivity movement that fucking kills me is. You're not facing reality. You're not facing the facts that are presented in front of you. A doctor's telling you that's not what you're supposed to be like. All the doctors are telling you that's not what you're supposed to be like. Stop putting food in your goddamn mouth. You're disgusting. It's not just females, it's males too. Males are part of the problem too. I saw a dude who was like 200 pounds on weight loss stories. He was short. He was like 5'4", 200 pounds. That dude had an amazing story. Amazing story of him getting out, lifting weights, fucking running. I hate lifting weights, but I'm gonna do it now. Exercising sucks. Unless you're doing like an awesome activity, exercising sucks. It's terrible. It doesn't feel good anymore. But you have to fucking do it. You gotta stop living a sedentary fucking lifestyle. I sit at a desk most of the day. And then my nights, now, you know, my nights are spent out in a fucking garden. My nights are spent out holding the gun, shooting it. Mine are spent fixing my car, fixing my girlfriend's car. Like, I'm doing shit with my life. I'm doing that shit because that's how you stay alive. When you stop doing stuff and you just sit on a goddamn couch and you eat Cheetos, you eat flaming hot Cheetos, and you sit on a couch in front of a computer all day talking about how hot you are. You're not. And people, I don't understand why you want to... I'm just repeating myself at that point. Fuck it. But the thing is, the people that are driving this perception aren't healthy. They're not even very good people from what I've learned and dealt with them. Like, I worked with someone who was really... But the only person... I worked with two people who were really pro body positivity. That was George Kostiopoulos. Surprised I can still get his Greek last name. Yeah, I worked with George Kostiopoulos. That guy is a dreamboat. Dreamboat. He's in great fucking shape. He's older than me. And he's like, yeah, no, most bodies are beautiful. That's what that guy honestly believes. But that guy gets the right to fucking believe that. Because he's working his ass off to maintain his at his age. And Juliana Rancic, you know what's so fucked up about this body positivity movement? Fucking Juliana Rancic, fucking, she's fucking skinny as a, she's skinny as a fucking pinky. And everyone's coming out, all these fucking, when she worked with Torrid, all these fucking women are coming out saying, oh, she needs to eat a goddamn sandwich. She's so fucking sickly looking. She's fucking disgusting. That's terrible. That's not how the human body's supposed to look. That's the shit that I'm looking at. And I'm in horror. Because these supposedly body positive people are fucking saying this about her. The woman had cancer. It was a private fucking battle for her. She didn't come out looking for sympathy. She had fucking cancer, so she's super fucking skinny. She couldn't keep food down, because pot's illegal. Speaking of which, so there's the hypocriticalness, this body positive bullshit too. It's all for one or one for all with that kind of fucking shit in my mind. There's no gray area. Either you believe every human body's fucking beautiful, and you die of fucking coronary heart disease. Either you have heart disease or something fucking terrible shit happens to you, right? That's the shit that's gonna happen. I fucking forgot where I was going. I got out of my fucking mindset there. I don't know. I just don't understand why people encourage it. And the two nicest people that I've known in this whole fucking body positivity bullshit is fucking skinny people who go to the gym or had cancer. You know? What did we learn today? I pissed off a famous tennis star. Instagram is sad and you should quit it. And body positivity is bullshit. Alright. So ends my 45-minute rant. This is the Isolationist Podcast. I guess I love you guys. I really don't. I don't actually know any of you. I could say fuck you guys as an ending, but I'm not gonna. Let's hope this shit worked with my new microphone. Alright guys, we did it.